Welcome to the Honesty Talks podcast. I am so glad you are joining the conversation today. I hope that you will dig deep with us, think honestly, and allow God to challenge us. As we explore, it is my hope that we grow and see more together. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Honesty Podcast. And right now we are actually going to be doing a series of everyday devotionals for counting the Omer in this season between Easter, Passover, Easter, Shavuot, and Pentecost. So there's this period of time that in the Jewish tradition they count what is called the Omer. And today, to help, actually for the next couple weeks, I have Jessica with me here, Jessica Larrabee, to help us walk through this every day for the next 3 weeks. So I'm going to hand it over to Jessica to say hi and actually explain what is an Omer.
Hi, yes. I would like to state that the Omer is 7 weeks, but we are starting in already at week 5, so we'll be doing the last 3 weeks of it. And the reason that we're okay with already starting halfway through is because an Omer is the amount that will fill you spiritually. So it is the perfect amount that will give you how much you need, and it will last for how long you need it. So no matter where you start, enter into it, you will still get what you need out of counting the Omer and sitting in what it means and reflecting with God on what the Omer will bring to you.
Awesome. And the historical reference to the Omer is, first it's used in Exodus to refer to the amount of manna taken every day. So that's kind of the spiritual filling that you're talking about.
Yes.
And historically, it was used to count down the days from Passover to when the people gathered around Mount Sinai in the Old Testament. And this throughout time, also when the temple was operational, built, they used this period of time from Passover until Shavuot, which is first fruits, to count grain offerings and what they would offer to God, their first fruits.
Yes, and the first use is in Exodus 16, and that is something we like to do a lot, is look at where's the first use in the Bible. So that is where we get the definition from, is related to counting the manna. And it also relates to, if you count the Omer, but then try to hoard it and control it for yourself, it becomes rotten and stinks, which is what happens if they tried to keep the manna for too long. So it is the balance of holding what God has given you, but not trying to control it.
Awesome. And there is a lot of historical references too, of like counting the Omer is, in history, it was an agricultural society. And so offering first fruits of their harvest was a big deal because it was everything that they did. It was how they lived. They grew all of their own food, and they offered the first fruits of that to God. And the Omer, in where it first shows up in scripture, the word Omer, using to count, is in Exodus, but it's in the spiritual sense of counting the amount of manna God provided for the people. And so that's how that is like hooking together, that there's this, it is really the spiritual context in what we are counting in ourselves and leading up to being at the mountain of God with the people of God. And also, what are we offering during this time frame in first fruits? And then following the Mount Sinai in first fruits time is Pentecost. Mm-hmm. It's like a couple days after that, and the coming of the Holy Spirit. And that all these things, like the timelines that don't happen all at once, they happen through time, are not happening on accident.
Correct. Yes. And when we look at Exodus 16, it says it is enough to fill your head and your soul. So it's really emphasizing on God's provision being enough for you physically, but also being enough for you spiritually, mentally, and just really how you inhabit the space with time and trusting that God's provision will continue to come.
And also with the historical context of offering grain, it's also the work of your hands is what's needed to be surrendered to God too.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't just about taking, there's a relationship. Mm-hmm. I think that the historical and, well, they're both historical because manna happened way before offering of grain, but like throughout time, that there's a both.
And I think it teaches us how to hold the passing of time better. Like, we are just leaving Passover, which is about what are you leaving during this season? And then it teaches us how to be mindful with our time as we move forward and as we're leaving out of this space, and just the intentionality of being present with God so we don't go back into the narrow place that we just left.
Mm. And for those of you who are listening and might not know what Passover is about, to give you a little background, Passover is 7-8 days long, and it is a whole week. And we celebrate during this time the exodus of the people from Egypt. And Egypt in the Hebrew is Mitzrayim, and Mitzrayim means narrow place. So there is a large spiritual truth to every year at Passover. We are looking at what are the narrow places that we have become slaves to. We work worshiping, serving other things other than God that we need to leave in life. And those can be spiritual realities, and they can also be physical realities. They can be jobs, relationships, things we believe about ourselves that we need to leave. So in this season where we've identified things to leave, counting the Omer is then a way to be more intentional and present with yourself and to not fall back into those patterns, mm-hmm. and really to make space for growth and what Omer. There is a structure and how we meditate on this and count it every day. And it involves prayers and a structure. So I'm going to let Jessica explain the structure of counting the Omer.
Yes, there are 7 different themes, and each week has its own theme, and each day has its own theme. And so you sit in what the weekly meaning is overall, as well as you sit in what the daily meaning is and how that plays a part into the weekly meaning.
So how it intersects. Awesome. And there's, when we're doing this, there's room for however, whatever God is speaking to you as you are counting, mm-hmm. and those weekly themes and daily themes, how they intersect. There'll be things that God points out to you that really stick with you. And really, it's a practice of hearing.
Mm-hmm. Hearing where God is leading you and what you need, because what Trin might need is different from what I need and what I'm going to get out of the counting.
So we want this to be a richness of space that's provided as we count the Omer, that there's room for individually we're going to encounter that differently.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just hope that you get a lot of richness out of these devotionals. We're going to share how we both interact with it, which is very different, and that there's room for how God may be moving in you in the counting of the Omer, mm-hmm. as well. Good evening, everyone. We are in the 38th day of the Omer, May 4th. It is the week of Yesod, foundation, power, procreativity, bonding, covenant, reciprocal relationship. And the biblical characters for this week are Joseph and Tamar. And the color is orange.
And we are in the Tiferet day, which is beauty, harmony, compassion, truth, proportion, and balance of loving kindness and strength. The people are Jacob and Ruth, and the color is yellow.
I really like the color combination of orange and yellow together. Now that reminds me of sunsets.
Yeah, that is a nice, beautiful sunset, is when it's the orange to yellow and
with a little lavender in there sometimes.
You and the lavender in a sunset.
I don't know. I like lavender in the sunsets. You're the one who's making me go all color crazy now.
There is a reason for colors in nature,
says the plant lady. Yes.
I don't know. I really like this day with this week because I feel like it fits really good. Like, there's proportion in reciprocal relationship. There's truth in reciprocal relationship. There's compassion in it. There's harmony. There's beauty in procreativity and power. There's harmony in procreativity and power. Like, I feel like it goes so good together.
I'd agree that it goes really good together. And I think of, like, truth and covenant together.
Mm.
Like, in order to have, like, a true covenant, there needs to be truth. Mm-hmm. And specifically, I would think of the truth of God.
Yeah.
Creating a lasting covenant, rather it be even between us and God, but also us and, like, the covenants we make in marriage or the covenants. I mean, I don't know. I feel like covenants are more than just marriage. That's just my view. Like, if you have a soul-to-soul relationship with someone, I mean, you guys have an agreement of how you're going to love and treat one another. No, it is not marriage, but it's still sacred.
I think that's a good point, though, of that most people do think of covenant as either marriage or, like, in the Old Testament with God. Like, there's not the word covenant used a whole lot nowadays.
Yeah. But when I think of covenant, I think of, like, equal relationship. No, I wouldn't say equal relationship. Mm-mm. I think of, this is why covenant's hard, I think.
Yeah, it's an awkward word. Like, it's just not used a lot today.
Yeah, see, I'm wrestling with covenant on this podcast, so we're going to leave it in. I feel like reciprocal relationship is maybe...
I feel like it's a mixture of bonding and reciprocal relationship together to get, like, the fullness of covenant.
Because,
I feel like with covenant, there's, like, a bonding there.
Yeah. Like, and there's reciprocal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a responsibility that, like, God sets the covenant, but then there's a responsibility for the people to shamar it, guard, tend, keep my covenant.
Because, like, you could make reciprocal relationships super sterile. Like, I go to the restaurant and I pay them and they give me food. That's reciprocal. We both get something out of it. But, like, I think they're looking for, like, the super personal, like, there's bonding in it. And that's where the covenant comes in, because it's the bonding between two people that creates the reciprocal relationship.
I think of the harmony
in
what you're talking about, like, because harmony is under the day.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, what harmony does the covenant need to be in, like, and what harmony are we bringing to the covenant or not? What harmony are we bringing to the reciprocal relationship? Like, are we actually in harmony? Are we working together? And the beauty that can come from a reciprocal relationship that's in harmony with truth, and the bonding that can happen, and the proportion and balance. Like, you can't have a healthy reciprocal relationship or covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Or bonding, I would say, without proportion and balance, and the balance of loving kindness and strength. So, like, I think of this. Like, people, I get accused of this a lot. Mm-hmm. You say very tough things to me, Jen, but I know you love me. And I'm like, I'm hoping that comes across, because it isn't love, but I definitely... say the things that some people don't say.
And that the compassion with the truth is power.
Ooh, yeah. Because that's what happens when I'm like, God, are you sure you want me to say this? Because, oh, man, this is going to be difficult. And, of course, God's always like, his response to me, usually when I'm asking him, like, when should I speak, is, like, is it in love?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And there's some powerful things that can happen, because in the relationships that I have, it's the same thing that happens to me, because I'm not the only one that proclaims truth or whatever. That's not true. But I've had people do that in my life where they've spoken some difficult things. But there's a balance of loving kindness and strength, and there's compassion, and there's a covenant or a bonding or a reciprocal relationship between me and that person. And even when they say these tough things to me, there's like this moment where I feel like the power releases, and it's like, the power to actually face what I like, to continue to face what I'm actually struggling with and face it with someone.
Yeah, I like that. And I think even you do need that bonding and that relationship to hear that truth. Like, I think, like, we can tell each other truths and, like, we can hear it and receive it well. But then, like, if you think of, like, at jobs when it's time for, like, your review, people freak out. It's like, oh, what are they going to say? Because there's not really that close relationship there, so it makes the truth harder to hear.
Yeah, that's true. And I... that could be said for our relationship with God, though, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like... I mean, I think that it's not always one way. There's lots of ways, because people are all unique and very different in how they interact with God. But how are we receiving God's truth or not?
Mm-hmm.
And what is that in relationship to our bond to God and our reciprocal relationship or covenant? I'm really on that, like the relational piece, mm-hmm. the last couple days here. And I also think like that's where I'm at, because that's to me what builds foundation, mm-hmm. right? And gives power to the relationship.
Yeah, and I like that there's beauty in power. Like, I feel like power we often think of as like a destructive force.
Well, when you think about God, isn't he the most beautiful power force mm-hmm. in existence? Holding together all of creation, creating everything that is in Elohim's image, mm-hmm. and willing to share that power with us. Because you don't create things in your, like, God didn't create things in God's image.
Yep.
And not share some of that, mm-hmm. some of them, some of itself and some of the power.
Yeah. And that's just, it speaks to the beauty and the reciprocal relationship that God is wanting with us and inviting us into all the time.
I like that. The beauty and the reciprocal relationship. Well, and I think a lot of it is, I feel like I talk a lot about balance and proportion, because I feel like living a life of faith is one that is living one that is more balanced and proportional.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where you can actually have healthy relationships, whether it be with other people or with God.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and even like the balance and proportion and like procreativity. Like, we can't always be creating. Like, there is a time to create and there is a time to rest, and God sets that example in creation, and he's inviting us into it again with the proportion and the balance with procreativity.
That's so good. I think of Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are we just go, go, go? Or falling into the trap that you are what you do or produce.
Yep.
And then you don't ever get to this understanding, because you're always like trying to do the next thing or produce the next thing to feel worthy or to have worth.
Mm-hmm.
And that you are the sum of what you do or produce. But when, I mean, God's truth is very different. We were worthy before we were ever given, like before we even lifted a finger.
Mm-hmm.
To tend to the garden, the first thing humanity experiences is Shabbat.
Yeah. And the compassion in that. That is the first thing we experience, is resting and bonding with God in that space.
And the beauty and harmony, like living in step with God.
And that's the foundation that people experience.
Should be the foundation.
Because
I always think, like, I always think of Sabbath as the door. Way to God's time. Because if we can't practice Sabbath weekly, how in the world can we step into yearly rhythms? How mm-hmm. can we step into any of the other time and really inhabit it
mm-hmm.
if we're not willing to give of our time on a weekly level to God? And actually, like, and I would go all the way to being like giving time itself to God, because God mm-hmm. knows how to inhabit it better than we do.
Absolutely. And that when you step into God's time, it's an entirely different pace of time than what we know.
Yep. Because I've experienced that myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like weird periods of time where like it seems to go way faster. Like a lot happens and a lot of transformation happens in a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are other years that you're like, did stuff happen this year?
And even how they used to measure time versus how, like how we do now. Like now it's a midnight to midnight schedule, but like they used to measure it off of sunset, which is why we're doing these podcasts in the evening each day, because it was off of the moon cycle.
Well, and that's what the Jewish calendar is based off of,
mm-hmm.
is the moon cycle.
And so that just, I think people focus too much on time rather than just the proportion and balance.
Well, I think we're a very disproportional culture.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's like, what can you acquire?
Mm.
And that's, and you give the time to acquire it. But at the end of your life, like
was people there compassion?
Wish, well, right. Was there compassion? People wish for more time
mm-hmm.
or to inhabit their time differently at the ends of their life. They don't go, hey, I wish I had more stuff.
But it's often, I want more time so I can repair these relationships.
Yeah.
So are we investing into the bonding and the reciprocal relationships now?
That's a good one. Yeah. Or just doing what you can. Mm. Like, because not all relationships will have a good resolution, because you can't control what the other person does or brings or is able to do or forgive or not forgive.
And not all relationships are meant to happen forever. Like, can you accept that some relationships are just meant for a time period and that's okay, but still hold compassion and harmony for that person?
I think trauma makes that really hard in people's lives. Like, I think that's totally healthy, because that's true. Can you just be present in the relationship, enjoy while it's there, the friendship or whatever? Because it could come in seasons. But I think people, what gets in the way of people doing that is our trauma of being not cared for, left, not loved, not seen. I mean, the list goes on. And so then we try to grip onto everyone and hold them so tightly.
Yeah. That's true. I think it just, I go back to like what you said at the beginning with the orange and the yellow, and it's a sunset, and it's just like a peaceful letting go.
Yeah, and just marking that some things, like there's a sunrise and a sunset to every day, and maybe there's a sunrise and a sunset to certain relationships. And can you let that go? And what is this? What is your steady going to be? Like, what are your covenants? Because I think when I think of covenant, I think of everlasting. Because in the Bible, God doesn't, like, this is something that bothers me. I will say that God built a covenant with the people, the Hebrew people, the Israelites, the Jewish people, however you want to call that. Well, that didn't just go away.
Yeah.
I mean, nowhere is it written that God was like, psych. Like, that still stands. Like, God's very serious about covenants. So that still stands. Along with what Yeshua did. That stands. So when we think about covenants, it's not something that's flippantly like back and forth or taken away. It's, I think of like something very committed, very like eternal.
I think it's eternal, and I think of the harmony with it. Like, they work together.
Yeah. Yeah. See, Jessica left me speechless. Speechless.
Yeah. I just think that's where we should leave it. Like, the harmony of how everlasting things can still fit together.
I like that. Let's leave it there. Blessings. I hope today's conversation has been deep and transformative. Please consider becoming a Patreon supporter to help us continue and expand the Honesty Talks podcast. When you are a Patreon supporter, you will get to be a part of our online community. You can also get other great things like early access to episodes, participating in polls, and making suggestions on future podcast topics, and so much more. For more information and to donate, go to patreon.com/honesty_talks. Thank you for listening, and join us next time.